Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches us about the importance of communion, the four suppers in the Bible, and who can attend.
Turn with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. There he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Again, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Declare the Lord's death till he comes. And we know that till he comes is a future thing, isn't it? We know that the Lord is coming someday. You can take and go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And there you'll find out how they instituted what they call the Passover. And the Passover there always pointed to the future. God was going to do something. God was going to do something. And God was going to do something. Then the disciples sat down with Jesus on the night that he was betrayed. And he broke bread with them. And he drank from the cup. And he had supper with them, saying that this is my body and this is my blood. And he's saying that the thing that they had looked forward to in the Old Testament would now be fulfilled in their presence. Could you imagine how typical to think this is an event that we have been waiting for. And now it's here. I'm sure the disciples could not understand all that was taking place. There was just too much. Because again, all the things that they were expecting the Lord to do, all the things that they were hoping to see, and the Lord was talking some words here that were probably a little mysterious to them. Death, going away, these type of things. I'm not sure if they comprehended all that. And let me just give you a verse, if you would sometime read the first chapter of Acts. In the first chapter of Acts, it said, as Jesus was ascending into heaven, the disciples still looked at him, and I think that it was kind of like with a little bit of surprise on their face, maybe. I don't know. But they said something like this, "Lord, wait a minute. What about the kingdom? When is the kingdom?" Yeah. We're expecting a kingdom. We know this thing has all taken place. When do we get the kingdom? And Jesus told them, you know, or the angel said to them, you know, this is what you are to do. And so now we look at the Lord's Supper and we participate in the day. Again, in this verse, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Future. Future. Yes. It'll become a reality. Could you imagine, if you would, and I don't know if I would be able to put this in words, about who would understand it, but the disciples sat down with the Lord Jesus at the Lord's table that evening and participated. And every one of those events that happened since then, every time that we sat down at the Lord's table to participate in the Lord's table, It's almost like we're sitting there with the Lord, participating in his table with them. Karen, this past week, we had one of our boys years ago got killed in a car accident, and he had a certain picture was taken of him. And then we had Chuck, our other son, is dealing with some issues in his life. And so this past week, now we're not all experts on the computer, okay? But she is better at it than I am. Matter of fact, I'm miserable at it. I don't I have very little knowledge. I just play around with it. But anyhow, she was trying to put these two. They both look almost identical. As a matter of fact, if you see that, if you were solving the gap, you'd think they were twins. And she was trying to put them together to where you can look at one and see the other. And I thought, that was so unique of doing that. You look at Chuck, and you see Jason in the background, our two kids together. I thought, that's sweet. Never true. As you look at this, the Lord's Supper that you and I are taking this morning, it's kind of like that. It's a picture of what took place on that first night. And you can see each one behind each one up to the time that you and I live in. And that they will be done, or they will do these year after year after year as a reminder to you and me what the Lord has done, what the Lord is actually doing. And then to that future day, whenever like the disciples sat with him at that first event, and they said, Lord, you have fulfilled all this. You and I would set them there, and you and I will see and proclaim, you have fulfilled all this. There's an interesting part of scripture that says that Jesus looked at them, he said, I will not drink of the wine of the vine again until I do it with you in my Father's house. Something about that for a minute. Now, he was resurrected from the dead, and he went with his disciples, and he met with his disciples. And you know, as we study the scripture, you find out that he ate fish with them, he broke bread with them, but nowhere in there does it mention that he drank wine or the drink. Until one day, all this becomes a reality, and you and I are sitting there in his presence, doing it in glory someday. Oh boy, I'll tell you this. On that day, every one of you will be found at 10 o'clock. Because you're not going to sit still. Amen? You're not going to sit still. Because on that day, and I just, as we were singing that song, kind of made you think that, you know, on that day, it's going to be you and me. It's going to be Peter, John, and everyone in between there on that day in his presence. But I'll tell you this, there might be some of us in this room that might not be here 2024 at the end, but you'll be there if you know Jesus. So here, let me give you several points, and I don't know if I'll get through them or not, but I don't want to keep you past 1 o'clock. The first thing he said here is, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death. The first thing you do is you proclaim. It's a proclamation. And it's not so much, even though it is, it's not so much proclamation to the world out there as it is to us in here, to one another, that we proclaim that this event has taken place, that we proclaim that this event that has taken place that made a difference in our life, and that we proclaim that one day we will sit there with him at that table in glory. Here's the things you can jot down, all right, if we get through these, all right? As you study scripture, you'll find out that I think there are four different supper tables that you and I will participate in, but there are four different supper tables, I think, that are mentioned in scripture. And let me take you to one of them, if you would, of Luke, the 14th chapter. In Luke chapter 14, beginning at the 16th verse. This is beautiful. This is you and me for those who know Jesus, this is us here. In verse 16, it says, and we'll call this table the table of grace. How many of you have been invited to the table of grace? Right? Anybody that knows Jesus as a Lord and Savior has sat down at that table of grace. Notice what he said in verse 16. Then he said unto them, now a certain man made a great supper, and he bid many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bid, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must need gold seer. I pray thee, have me excused. The other said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to prove that. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Otherwise, he said, I will not come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly into the street for the lane of the city, and bring in hither the poor and maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highway and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. What supper we're talking about here? It's an invitation to come and die. It's an invitation to come, as we talked about a little bit in Sunday school this morning, to be from the hidden manna that Jesus offers to those he will come. It's an invitation to come and know who Jesus is. Man, I have a habit, and I do this every year, and this year I did not do it, but Karen tried to get to it, but for some reason I couldn't do it. And I watched that, the Christmas Carol. Does anybody like that? Man, I love those. I would get to make more every year, a different one, but keep with the same theme about it. But the one that I like the most in that, and I think I've shared this with you, is one of those, and I think it's Christmas present, where Scrooge walks into the room, and it's all lit up, and you have all the food there in front of this Christmas present, and he's there, I don't know, maybe, but it seemed like I remember he's cheering on a big turkey leg or something, and he just is having a feast, and he looks at Scrooge, and he says to Scrooge, come and get to know me better, man. Yeah, I'm thinking, I want to get to know you better. Seems like you got a lot of goodies around you. That's what the Lord says. An invitation. Come and die. Come and get to know me better. We call that the table of grace. Everyone's invited to come and know. Amen. And then, of course, it's the supper we call the communion. And that's back in where we were at in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh there before others his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that ought not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received, and then it says, for I have received the Lord that which I will deliver unto you, and now we deal with the Lord's Supper here in how it should be conducted, to participate in the Lord's Supper. Now, here's the unique thing about it is, people say, well, who's invited to this Lord's Supper this long? All of those who accepted the invitation at the table of grapes. And you can go down through here and see that you can take and participate in this in an unworthy manner. But to do it in an unworthy manner would be to not know Jesus as your Savior, or be a Christian person who knows Jesus, being at the table of grace, but have things in your life that is rebellious and not notice and know it, and choose not to make it right. A proclamation. So I proclaim to you this morning that Jesus is Lord. I proclaim to you this morning, Jesus, is a Savior, is born, and he is Christ the Lord, my Lord, your Lord. Amen. Are you with me still? The other would be the Supper of Glory. Man, I don't know if I would go to the fourth one or not, but in Revelation 19, Revelation 19, and you can jump on board here, and we can do what they call a theological debate dealing with eschatology, as to what is it that he's talking about here. But notice in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, and this is what he said. And he said unto them, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, thee are true saying of God. Are you with, again, listen to this. And he said unto me, write, blessed or happy are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are true saying of God. So here's the thing. If you've been at the table of grace, he encourages you to participate in the Lord's Supper. And as a result of that, not dealing with the Lord's Supper, but because you've been at the table of grace, you and I will meet someday at the Supper of the Lord. We will meet. And that's where you're saying, back in 1 Corinthians, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come one day there in glory. Let me just throw the fourth one out. For anybody that's been born again, you do not worry about that. Notice verse 17, Revelation 19. It says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that flew in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. You and I won't be there. Those who know Jesus will not be there. Those who participate will not be there. Those, because we'll be at the Supper of the Lord. So let me throw this at you real quick. Number one, proclaim the Lord death till he can fight the football done. And he's still on. And whenever you do that, you proclaim the Lord death. And that's the central message of this Lord's Supper, is his death and burial and resurrection. We all know that he was born. We all know that he was made man. And very few people will argue that today. We know that he lived. We know that he taught. And could you imagine that this earth had been blessed with the touch of his feet when we walked around on this planet? But you know, if more time, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He got out because of all that he was going to take place. Then he knew he was going to die on the cross, and they buried him. And on the third day, what happened? He came up. And that is the assurance of all that we do. You read in the scriptures things like he poured out his soul unto death. It's all about that. You read in the scripture he gave his life a ransom for many. You read in the scripture, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And we proclaim that, then the burial and resurrection of Jesus through that, and that at some future date he's coming back. We proclaim his glorious presence even here today. And we proclaim again that he is one day coming back. Folks, he's coming back. If he doesn't come back today, and this is the last day of this year, it's March the 1st. If he doesn't come back this afternoon, maybe 24. If he'll come back in 24, he'll prevent Mason from getting 71 years old. I'll tell you, it's hard to believe that the years have come and gone. But in 1972, and then we'll just pay the Lord's table. In 1972, I came to know Jesus. And at that time in my life, I began looking up to see him coming back on the cloud. I remember I'd walk back and forth, work, go to work in the morning, come back in the evening, and I'd walk. And every time I would do this, I would look to the cloud thinking, you maybe at that time, and do that. Folks, it's still today, 47 years later, maybe that. Maybe that. More than that. He is. It fast. Can't do it tomorrow. Just like that. In a moment, in 2029, we are going to be there at the glory supper of the Lord, drinking from that cup, which is there in the presence of all eternity. I'm going to give them a prayer. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. God, you. It's just a short time. We know we are going to be there with you, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, that you have made it all possible. We look forward to that. Help us, Lord, to understand that we have a responsibility to walk in a strong relationship with you. And we're to shun the world and allow his sin to have dominion over us. But allow you to work in each of our lives where it would bring glory to your holy name. And people around us will see us and know that we proclaim your death till you come. This morning, Father, to participate, again, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for how you've tested through your Son by the power of your Spirit. We love you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.